Back when I began this study for the Holy Spirit series, God really just impressed upon me, start with Jesus. What did Jesus have to say about the Holy Spirit? So we've been in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, and you can go ahead and open up your Bibles there, but I want to begin with a story about a shepherd who's out in a pasture with a huge flock of sheep, and a very expensive black SUV pulls up and parks, and a guy gets out. He's got a $3,000 European suit on. He's got a $1,000 pair of Italian leather shoes and a French silk tie, the whole garb. He says, "Hey, if I can tell you how many sheep you have in this pasture, can I have one?" Well, the shepherd looks very quizzical at the man. He says, "I guess so. Sure, I'm game." So he gets out his smartphone and he gets onto a NASA website with GPS spotting, and he's sending some info to a spreadsheet that an Excel to a printer that's hooked up in his SUV, and he prints out about 50 pages and he's pulling those apart, studying them and analyzing them for about a good 15, 20 minutes. And finally he says, "You've got exactly 1,586 sheep in this pasture." Shepherd goes, "You're right. Wow. You can have one." So he goes and he gets the animal and he puts it in his car. But before he leaves, the shepherd says, "Now, just a moment. If I can tell you what it is that you do for a living, can I have my animal back?" Well, he says, "Sure." The shepherd says, "You're a business consultant, aren't you?" The man said, "That's right. How did you know?" Shepherd said, "Well, it wasn't really hard. In the first place, you show up here without being asked. Secondly, you want to get paid for telling me what I already know. And third, you don't know anything about my business because you put my dog in your car." Now, the point is, we have never lived in a time in history when we have had more information as we do right now. We are inundated with information, and the world is still broken. Information is not producing transformation. We have a lot of knowledge, but we don't have lots of wisdom. And maybe what's wrong, what's most wrong, is that we can't seem to agree on what is most right. And this is one more reason why Jesus was so eager to send the gift of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Now, I read these chapters over and over as I prepared for this series, and the term that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit more than any other is advocate or helper. But the name that Jesus uses is the Spirit of Truth. And I pondered that. Because he could have just as well said the Spirit of Joy, or the Spirit of Love, or the Spirit of Peace. But what Jesus did consistently was to refer to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. Why? Well, the truth is, we need truth help. The Holy Spirit has come to help us in the area where we seem to need the most help, and that area seems to be truth. Because we live in an age that would rather be politically correct than correct. And here's the problem with that. You can be absolutely sincere and sincerely wrong. See, I do not want a doctor that says, "It doesn't matter what kind of medicine you take, as long as you think it will make you better." I don't want someone to say, "It doesn't matter which road you go down to the emergency room, as long as you think it will get you there." There are some areas of life where I absolutely need truth. And in the most important arenas, it would help if we actually knew what God thought. And to do that, we need some help. So I'm going to read to you a long passage that is going to help you understand why some people grasp the truth of God and some people do not. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in the 10th verse. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, Paul writes these words. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He can't understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And this helps explain why some people grasp the mind of God and other people are in a fog. Do you realize, do you grasp the enormity of this gift that Jesus has bestowed upon us, the capacity to understand the thoughts of God? And we could stop the sermon right now, and you'd be happy, not just because I stopped the sermon right now, but that we have the capacity to discern the mind of God because he has given us the Spirit of God. This is why the Holy Spirit can never be considered just an optional extra for a small little subset of Christians, because we need truth help. And the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Now, that does not mean the Holy Spirit will help you on your algebra exam. It means that everything that you need to grasp and understand about who it is that God has called you to be, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you. Now, how does he do that? There are two ways. First, the Spirit helps us hear the truth. Well, how does he do that? Well, I'm sure there are more ways than what I'm going to mention, but I'm going to mention what I think are the three main ways that he does this. First, the Holy Spirit helps us read the Bible. Now, at this church, we believe that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. I believe the Scriptures claim that for themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it starts out, all Scripture is God-breathed. That word, God-breathed, it could be translated God-winded or God-spirited. It means that the Scriptures are the very product of the Spirit of God, ushered from the mind of God. Twice in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew author, for example, quotes a passage from the Bible and he says, the Holy Spirit says, that when you read the Scriptures, you're reading what the Holy Spirit has said. Peter says in 2 Peter, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's very important to know, because some people will say, well, I just want to hear from the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to what he has already said? Are you in the Word? Because the Holy Spirit is never going to contradict what it is that he has already written. And that is very important, because I talk to so many people that just want to justify behavior that is contrary to the Scriptures. And they'll say, the Holy Spirit was leading me. And they wind up in disasters. The Holy Spirit is not dumb insurance. You need to study and read and know your Bible. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do is to help you discover and to possess the gold mine of truth that is in the Scriptures. And here's why that is important. If you do not ask for the Holy Spirit's help to read the Bible, all you're going to do is just reinforce your own prejudices. You're going to go to the Bible with what you already think, and you're going to find in the Bible that it's agreeing with what you already think, and that is not Bible study. The Holy Spirit that inspired the authors can also translate for the readers so that we can get past assumption, past tradition, and to hear the deep truths of God. So let me encourage you to try something before it is that you read your Bible every day. The assumption would be that you are reading your Bible every day. And before you open it up, take a moment. Just be quiet and be still and pray, God, through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help me today to understand your truth. I like how David put it in Psalm 119, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. One thing that I've learned about people that grow in fellowship of the Holy Spirit is that they have an increased appetite for the Word of God. It is one of the surest signs that you are becoming more Spirit-filled is you have a hunger for the Word. This is one way the Spirit helps us hear the truth. Another way the Holy Spirit helps us by being an internal lie detector. Because here's the thing about the devil. He's the father of lies. That is his business. He traffics in deception. What are the very first words of the devil in the Bible? Did God really say? So what happens when you are in step with the Spirit is that you start to hear ideas. You start to hear thoughts. And this internal truth alarm goes off inside of you. And it says, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like Jesus. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this internal teaching ministry is promised to every single believer in Jesus. Look what John says, 1 John 2:27. But you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. John, by the way, is not rebuking human teachers. John was a teacher, and the Spirit gifts people to teach and preach to the body. He's not rebuking human teachers. What he is rebuking is dependence upon human teaching. He's confronting the idea that there are only some people that can hear from God, and the rest, well, they just have to depend on what it is that they think. So if you study how cults operate, there's always this leader that will say to everyone else, I hear from God, and I will tell you what God wants you to know. So if you need the truth, you need to come to me. And John is saying, that is not how it operates in the kingdom of God. We all have access to the truth of God because we all have the internal teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts toward the truth of Jesus. And he will guard our thoughts from those things that would lead us away from Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us hear the truth. He helps us read the Bible. He helps us detect false teaching. And the Holy Spirit helps us through communal discernment of Spirit-filled people. I've seen this so many times in my ministry. Maybe I'm in an elders meeting with my elders and we're studying scriptures. Or maybe I'm in a small group and we're studying scriptures together. And there is power when the Holy Spirit is with people. They get together and they wrestle with texts and they pray and they search for the truth. The Holy Spirit anoints that. Let me give you an example from the Bible. It's in the 15th chapter of Acts, and the church is wrestling with the biggest controversy that it will ever have. Just how big actually is the Bible? Is the Bible for every nation and every culture, every race? Or do you have to become a Jew to become a Christian? So they come together, Peter and Paul stand up and they share their ministry experiences. And the brother of Jesus, James, he reads from the prophets and they pray and they talk and they come to the truth that the gospel is for everybody and you don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. And then they write a letter to all of the churches, and I love at the beginning of that letter what they say in Acts 15 verse 28. It says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." And what they were saying was that somehow as they prayed and they wrestled with the scripture and they told their stories, the Holy Spirit was anointing that process so that they came to the truth. That's why if you think the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something and none of your spirit-filled friends are getting that same message, you need to go slow. Because the Holy Spirit helps us hear the truth through the community of spirit-filled people. Because the conflict with our enemy, the one who wants to destroy your life, is primarily a truth battle. And Jesus has given you the Holy Spirit to help you win that battle. Now, some of you are thinking, you know what? I just hardly ever hear the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem. We have filled our lives with so much ambient noise and so much clutter and so much distraction, we often cannot hear God when He speaks. Some of you are old enough to remember George Burns and his wife Gracie. They used to do comedy routines together, and in one routine, Gracie asks for a repairman to come and fix the clock because she said her clock was not giving her the correct time. So the repairman looks at the clock, and he's working on the clock. He says, "Ma'am, there's nothing wrong with this clock. You just don't have it plugged in." She said, "Well, I'm trying to save electricity. I only plug it in when I want to know what time it is." And some of us only plug into God when we have a crisis, when something's wrong. So we plug into the Father because we need to know how to get help. But we're supposed to live always in tune with the Spirit so that we can always stay on topic. And the topic is Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 26. "When the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning." So the Spirit of truth is going to help us hear the truth. And Jesus said also, the Spirit of truth helps us speak the truth. Here are the disciples, and they're in the presence of the resurrected Jesus. And I'm sure that they were ready to just go and tell everybody that they could. But the first command that Jesus gave them was not go. The first command that he gave them was wait. Go into Jerusalem and wait for the gift. He said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that is exactly what happened. When the Spirit descended on Pentecost, they are the least expected group in history to launch a worldwide movement. They have no assets, no money, no political power, no education, and they launched a movement that is still changing the world. Least expected, but most empowered. When that Spirit descended and they began to proclaim Christ, a crowd gathered around, and they thought, "What has gotten into these men?" It's the wrong question. Not what has gotten into these men. Who has gotten into these men? And they start to proclaim with unnatural boldness and unnatural clarity because they have supernatural help. Just like Jesus promised, Matthew chapter 10. Look what Jesus says. When, not if, when you are arrested, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given the things to say. It will not really be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. It's very important to understand that Jesus has sent us the Spirit, not just to help us walk, but to help us talk the way of Christ. Because the gospel needs words, not just actions. For the next couple of minutes, I'm going to launch into an arena where it has great potential for misunderstanding, but I think it is worth the risk. Because I do believe, and I am excited to see the passion for justice in the church today, to be people, to do good, to be salt and light, and to do good works that glorify our Father. But what has happened, I fear, is that we have decided if we will be just good examples, that the world will be able to understand the gospel. I do not believe that. I believe the gospel must be taught to be caught. So you have a neighbor, and you decide in the name of Jesus that you're going to be a good neighbor. And when he breaks his leg, you go and you shovel his sidewalk in his driveway. And when his wife is sick, you take food over to their family. When he gets cancer, you go and visit him in the hospital. And then he dies. What gospel did you preach to your neighbor? You preached a false gospel that is very popular in America, that if you will just be nice and good, then God will save you because God saves good people. And kindness does not wash away a single sin. Only blood does that. And what your neighbor needed was to know who Jesus is and why Jesus came and what Jesus did. And I think much of the evangelistic apathy that is in the church today is the sad and inevitable consequence of most of us living with no intimacy with the Holy Spirit. In 1912, the Titanic tragically sunk. When the iceberg gashed the hull, they sent out a distress signal, and the closest ship, the SS Californian, was about an hour and a half away, 90 minutes. Had she responded immediately, she would have gotten to the Titanic before the ship went down, but she never showed up. So there was a congressional hearing. And Senator William Smith of Michigan asked the captain of the SS Californian why it was that he did not respond to the distress call. And he fidgeted in his seat. And finally he said, "We were afraid. We were afraid of icebergs. So we had shut off our fires and we had no power." No fire. No power. No one was saved. And when the church quenches the fire of the Holy Spirit, she has no power and no one gets saved. And I believe when you live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, his passions start to become your passions. And the Holy Spirit is passionate about lifting Jesus up so that others can come to him like you did. Anytime anybody is filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, they start to talk Jesus talk. Acts chapter 2, they are filled with the Spirit. They start to talk about the wonders of God. They lift up Christ. Acts chapters 3 and 4, Peter and John are on their way to the temple. They see this lame man. They heal him. He begins to jump up and down in joy, and a crowd gathers, and Peter starts to preach about Jesus, and it upsets the authorities, so they question them. That's where Peter made the great statement, "Jesus is the only name under heaven by which men can be saved." But read right before that, and it says, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit. Later in that chapter, they're sent home and they're told, don't talk about Jesus anymore. And they're threatened. So they get together in a prayer meeting and they pray to God for more boldness. And the room shakes and they are filled with the Spirit and they go out and speak the word of God boldly. But maybe my favorite example is in the 7th chapter of Acts. Stephen is preaching this powerful sermon about Jesus. And the religious authorities are getting angrier. They're getting angrier. And Stephen crosses a line. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they looked at him and they had bitter anger in their hearts and they took him out and they stoned him to death. They were filled with rage, not knowing how else to silence a man filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has one curriculum, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 16, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to you for your agenda. He was given to you for Christ's agenda. He is present. He is able. He is eager to do what honestly for most of us doesn't come naturally. Witnessing is supernatural business. And we need help to do it. And my observation is that most of us are not living secretly sinful lives. We're living secretly Christian lives. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us walk and talk Jesus. He wants to add some fitness to our witness. He wants to give us some courage and the words to confront what is most wrong with the truth about what is most right. Because the truth is, Jesus is the truth. Jesus never said, believe that. Jesus said, believe me. Jesus made himself the issue. In fact, our focus has been from John 14, 15, and 16, and it all begins with that incredibly controversial statement by Jesus, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that is politically incorrect. But it is correct. Jesus is the way to God. He is the Son of God. He is the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us stay on topic. And more this is becoming clear to me that Jesus actually is the issue always. So beginning next week, we're going to begin a 6-week experience where we will confront doubts and questions that people have about the faith. But never forget, Jesus is always the issue. He always has been. And my prayer would be that you will invite people to come and hear this series. People that will have questions as we tackle big questions. Pray about it and ask for the Spirit's help in your conversations, but you need to bring them here. Would you stand up? We're going to have a word of prayer.